This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice, juicy little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Suk's right over there.
Right here. About to check out.
Yeah, his Mets about to get underway.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
The puck is about to drop. They're about to kick it off.
Oh, hockey's in full swing. I'm sure you're all over it. Our Kraken just defeated Nashville the other night.
I am not, but I did see a story about the Kraken who have a female assistant coach.
Yeah, first one ever in NHL history.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
But I did have to look up. They were, again, a misleading headline. They were trying to fool me into thinking that she was the head coach.
Oh.
That I had to look that up.
That is incorrect.
Dare they make you look that up?
Yeah, that's weak.
Yeah, really?
But they did get me to click on it.
Well, I would think that if she were the head coach, it would be a bigger deal. No offense, but, you know.
That's fair.
I think you would have heard
of it. But I'm not a hockey guy, so.
No, but look, the first time that a female becomes the head coach of one of the major four sports, yeah, you're going to hear about it. That's not going to
I thought I was hearing about it right then and there.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Fake news.
Wrong.
She's one of like the nine assistant coaches, but it's the first one, and that's cool. Look at Seattle being all progressive.
Wait.
What?
There are nine hockey
There's a
assistant...
lot of assistant coaches.
Really?
Every sport has them.
Well,
I don't know if there's necessarily...
How many on the bench, though? Like four? Three or four?
I think four on the bench.
And she's one of those bench assistants.
Can yes. I ask why you need nine assistant coaches in hockey?
Well, why do you need nine coaches in anything?
Well, you don't have nine coaches.
I have a lot of coaching.
But, okay, well, you just change it from nine to a lot. Well, yes, there are coaches for various things, but I don't think
I think by ratio, basketball has even more. Because I think NBA staffs have nine. Like you have your assistants on the bench, you have your assistants on the second row of the bench, and then you have your player development people. Basketball rosters are only 15 people.
Okay,
hockey's like
30. Wait. You're roping more people into being assistant coaches than are actually assistant coaches.
Yeah.
In the NBA, I think it's four.
I think it's six.
Okay, well, that's also less than nine.
So, believe it or not,
six for 15 people versus nine for what, 30 or 25 or 28 on a hockey team?
So, believe it or not, some of this is a little wonky, but I did look up the Seattle Kraken, and their coaching staff does have nine, but it's not really nine.
Right.
Because a couple of them are video people. There's two video analysis and an assistant coach that only does video.
Yeah, okay, that's not...
But it is, because you are literally breaking down video.
I know, but what they're doing is they're giving people better titles than they used to.
All right. And then, so, but there are nine technically on the two. And by the way, I just threw out this number to be a sarcastic ass. There are nine.
No way.
There are nine coaches. So screw you, Rob. There's nine coaches listed under the coaching staff for the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah. I'm not doubting your number.
Jessica
Campbell
being one of them.
I was wondering why they need so many assistants. And
there's a lot of hockey stuff going on.
It's a pretty generic answer.
You got some, you know, you got to have your
own.
He's not wrong.
Stuff going.
There is a lot of hockey.
Somebody's got to polish those skates.
When you watch hockey, there's a lot happening there,
a lot of
man.
Different elements, special teams, face-offs.
Yes.
Well, look, most importantly, she's kind of a hot.
She is kind of a hot, yeah.
So. Most importantly, she
is on the bench. There you go.
There you go. Okay, Hot 5 at 5 here. In a moment, we've got the College Football Beard Oil, which is a pixie around college football. The Big Ten and the SEC, their big grand plan. And coming up tonight in the club, what the Mexican drug cartels are doing now, and it's terrifying.
Are they going to Chili's?
Are they at Chili's at 1 in the morning? I love everyone was concerned that I was going to get trafficked down there. No, I was just eating tenders while I was drunk.
I got to be honest. I'm never concerned with you getting trafficked.
No. Why would anyone want to kidnap me?
That's just, it's not, the juice is not going to be worth the squeeze. No. You're going to get your ass kicked in the process.
Exactly. Like, it's...
That was kind of insulting, but I think you know what he means.
I'm difficult.
No, it wasn't insulting at all. I'm just like, you're going to have a hard time taking him for sex trafficking.
I'm difficult.
Well, but why would anyone want
to... Exactly. I mean, I'm difficult to kidnap. First of all, no one's paying any ransom for me.
No offense, but...
Yeah, and really, like, you can't sell
people
me
people aren't
on the...
lining up to...
Exactly!
You know,
yes.
See your ad on Craigslist and be like, oh, I gotta have that guy.
I'm not getting trafficked.
I mean, no offense.
No. That's why I'm eating tendies at 1 in the morning.
Let's get to the hot, very hot, smoking, sizzling hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Yeah, the Vancouver Ford text line. Assistant coach should be defined as a coach that could take over for the head coach. A video assistant could not do that.
Could the goaltender coach do that then? Because I don't think so.
Well, that's, I think, his point, and that's kind of my point, is that we're getting a little liberal, thanks Obama, with the assistant coach term.
No, that's horse crap.
Video guy's not an assistant coach.
Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this video coach slander.
Seahawks lose safety Rayshon Jenkins to the IR. He will miss at least the next four games. He has a hand injury. He is Seattle's third leading tackler.
They've been beat up. They've had an unfortunate run on that side of the ball.
Well, they've had to bring up a white guy, and that's no good.
Well, it's a white corner. Well, actually, he's a white safety. So.
He's a safety by the name of Ty Okada. He comes from the practice squad. He is a white kid from Montana State. That can't make you feel good.
Now, if he was a white kid from Iowa, we'd say, hey, maybe play some corner. We had two of those in the NFL right now.
Two tough ones on the horizon for the Hawks. They will be in Atlanta this Sunday, and then a home game against Josh Allen and the Bills.
I would say no gimmies there.
Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay had its roof ripped off by Hurricane Milton. They will not be ready for next March when the season opens. As a matter of fact, the Rays may not even be able to play there at all in 2025.
It takes that long to fix a roof?
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's like sheets. It's not like it's a hard roof. It's like it's tarps.
Send them to Oakland.
You can't put up a... Now, you telling me you have... I'm fascinated by this. Is this one of those you can't or you just don't want to? Because
I think the cost is too severe that you would rather just...
Yeah.
Get a new stadium, but you can't afford that for sure. So
this is right. I find that hard to believe.
The hunt is on for a temporary location. The options so far are the many minor league stadiums that are in Florida, or they could share the Marlins ballpark with that team.
Yeah, the Legends Field where the Yankees play in Tampa. It's right across from Raymond James. That's nice. It doesn't seat a lot of people, but it's
how many people you get in there?
I'm gonna take a look. It's been so long since I've seen there, but I used to watch spring training games down there when the Yankees would come down. It's a great place.
No one goes to Rays games anyway.
Exactly.
You need about 8,000.
Number three.
That's about it. Capacity crowd. another baseball team could be for sale. White Sox owner Jerry Reinsdorf is open to selling, and a few reports out there are that he's talking to a group led by former A's pitcher Dave Stewart, He is now stumping for a team in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, that's just kind of one of those, we've heard that all along, that Nashville is going to get a squad.
Yeah, but Stewart's part of the Nashville group, yes. Just like our Portland Diamond project. Yeah.
So Nashville is just a no-brainer. So what, the Diamondbacks threatening, the White Sox threatening, we're going to get a couple expansion teams. So, you know, again, rich owner, hey, build me a stadium or else.
As for Reinsdorf, he is now 88 years old.
Oh, really?
He bought the team for $20 million in 1981.
Getting up there, huh?
Is that all?
On the Fan.
Sorry, I was busy looking.
No, no, no.
Capacity.
Number two.
The NCAA issues a new rules interpretation thanks to Dan Lanning and his staff. 12 men on the field in the final 2 minutes of either half. The offense can now choose to add the time back on the clock in addition to the 5-yard penalty. The one caveat here is that this is only if 12 players are actively participating, not if someone is trying to run off the field.
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes sense, right? It's what the kind of the NFL does. It's a loophole, they closed it, and let's all move on. I find this fascinating. This has become such a big deal. But hopefully now it can kind of... I think it takes away from what was a great game. And that's not what determined this game. So, good. It's a team that's committing a penalty should not be rewarded for it. I'm glad they closed the loophole and move on. The NFL did this years ago. By the way, about 11 and some change. And they've now renamed it George Steinbrenner Field.
That's plenty for the Rays.
Yeah, it's a beautiful stadium. It used to be Legends Field, but now, of course, you know, Steinbrenner had to have his name put on it. But just do that. Play there.
It's Walker Buehler against Luis Severino.
Sevy.
Mets Dodgers, it is game 3 NLCS. They are in New York. Series tied at 1. And so far, so good for your Mets.
Well, we had Doc throwing out the first pitch to Daryl Strawberry, so the Mets by like 17 tonight. Come on.
Hide the cocaine.
I know, right? I think Daryl Strawberry claims, though, that he's like a man of God now, whereas I think Doc still, you know,
dabbles.
Well, I don't think he wants to. I just think that's a...
He's got his grips on him.
It's a bit of a problem over the years. He doesn't always look that great. But Daryl, I think now, like, I think he's like a preacher. He goes around and like does like a Ryan Leaf thing.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. Our college football beard oil continues next. A peeksy around the world of college football, complete with Mario Cristobal audio on the Fan.
They're eating the dogs.
By the way, we got a Florida bro here.
They're eating the pets.
Tampa.
Yeah.
Says, I live here in Tampa.
Okay.
Said it's $100 million for a new roof.
What?
Said it's made of custom Teflon. And I did know that. Like, it's supposed to withstand winds up to like 140 miles an hour.
It
did not. Said the frames completely need to be rebuilt. And he said there's massive water damage from the last couple of hurricanes. Said the stadium is supposed to get torn down in 2026 when they build a new one. And he says there's no drainage system. So that water, I guess, has just been seeping in there. For like over a year and just kind of sitting. And so they, I guess it's like a massive renovation project and no one wants to do it because how expensive it is and it's not going to be used for many more years.
What if they go play at Oco in Oakland? The Rays.
Which is worse, the possum infested stray cat sanctuary and sewer problem or the hurricane flooded, no roof.
Well,
Tropicana.
Could they just do some flood abatement and play open air there now? Why do they need a top?
Just take the roof off.
Yeah, I like it. Make it a convert. Well, just leave it as it is. You know, it could be kind of a fun tattered situation.
Might have to swim to second base.
Yeah, but go there and clean it up a little bit and call it good. Well, look, I've seen two games at the Oakland Coliseum, and I've seen too many games that I can count at the crappy Tropicana Field. And I don't care what anyone says, I will take the Oakland Coliseum over Tropicana any day. At least the Coliseum is outside.
Yeah, there's that.
You know, the Tropicana just feels like you are going into like a mausoleum. That place sucks.
Yeah, it looks like it sucks.
It does. There is nothing.
And it's turf.
Yes, there is nothing when you walk into that place that you think to yourself, I'm going to a Major League Baseball game. At least at the Coliseum, you can trick yourself into being like, well, this is a hunk of crap, but it's... you know, it's not like Wrigley Field or Fenway for all those years was nice. They were hunks of crap before they redid
them. The Coliseum's really big too, isn't it?
Yes, it's big.
Seats a lot. Like, you know, if it gets rocking.
Well, Al Davis famously put in the huge new addition in center field, or what, I mean, it was there for football, but they've never been able to fill it. They have more seats than they know what to do with.
Yeah, I thought they like curtained off the top.
Yeah, it's like 65.
Yeah, they've tarped it off for years.
Is it 65,000?
65,000.
So that's the biggest baseball stadium, isn't it? But that's got to be.
Probably.
That's a monster. Because, yeah.
100 times?
More.
200 times?
More.
500 times?
Probably.
Tropicana is 40 and some change.
So they're going to tear it down then? Like, didn't they get a new stadium down there? I mean, they haven't built it, but they've...
I think there's an approval, at least a temporary one, like a somewhat of an okay. Yeah, I think their stadium thing was solved, but obviously it's not built.
What if we just take Zedell Yards and just put a little makeshift field in there for them?
I like where we're, yeah.
Just what do you think about that?
Pop it up and tell the Rays to come on down.
Yeah. Put a little fence out there.
Our Tampa Rays.
Like, or they could play like Little League where there's no fence.
Oh, I like that. Just put some, yeah, well, just make the water, you know. Hey, ground rule double.
Did you ever hit a Little League home run?
I mean, I think we all did. The kind where you hit the ball and it's like a single and you just keep running because everyone's making errors.
Well, I just mean like, no, it goes out to the outfield.
We had fences.
It goes out. Well, we didn't have fences at some parks. And so you would hit the ball so far out there
that by the time anyone could retrieve it, you're all the way around the base.
It's technically a home run.
Yeah.
Not like the four error home run.
No.
Okay. I consider that the Little League home run, but yeah, the fenceless home run too.
I never had, I'm trying to think. I've hit one where we actually had fences. I don't know if I was fat and slow. So I don't think I ever had the true Little League home run where you just run around the bases. No, I don't think we ever had that.
So now to our college football beard oil. Now this is wrapping up the weekend that wasn't college football, and we apologize for only to just now getting this Wednesday at 5:30. But look, it's been a busy 2 days.
We've had a lot going on.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Jed Fish is first on the list. He said because Washington got their ass kicked by Iowa.
Yeah, it's not good. It's one thing to lose. And to lose bad, but when Iowa, home of punts and crawl out of my ass, when they lay 40 on you, that one stings.
Well, Iowa's a good club.
Yeah, but 40?
I think we expected better from Washington.
I did. After the Michigan win, we kind of thought that maybe, because they statistically dominated the Rutgers and the Washington State game. So you're like, okay, eventually this will come back around. The numbers look pretty good. You have the big win over Michigan, and so you kind of thought maybe you turned a corner, and then you get on the plane, and the white kids from Iowa just whoop your ass.
It looked pretty good early for Washington, but then Iowa just became Iowa. And
go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
So a nice win. I just feel like with Washington and USC, what we're seeing, part of what we're seeing, not all of what we're seeing, but part of what we're seeing is just that the Big Ten is just tougher.
Yeah.
It's just tougher than the Pac-12.
Well, and we do know that, I mean, it has borne out that, you know, traveling, you know, a couple time zones and, you know, these have been tough places to play. The records are not kind to the road team.
Yeah, I want to see that stat for a bigger sample size.
Exactly. Yeah,
and I also want to see it east to west versus west to east. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be easier. So that game, well, that was a 9 a.m. game.
Yeah, it was the early,
our time.
It was the early game. It was the big noon kickoff.
But there, it was noon. Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't hurt Washington. Or no, it wouldn't have been noon. It would have been central time. So it would have been 11. But that shouldn't hurt Washington too bad. It's the East Coast team that comes out west and plays early. Mm-hmm.
And the other one,
late, because like Ohio State, they would count in this, right? They come to Oregon over two time zones. That's the, I think the stat is if you travel more than two time zones, they're 3-10 or 3-11.
3-11, I think,
in Big Ten conference play. So it's a very small sample size. But Ohio State, that game kicked off at technically 7:30 their time.
I also wonder too. You know, Washington's not a very deep team, and Rutgers plays a very rugged physical style of ball. Michigan plays a very rugged physical style of ball. And you play those two teams back to back and both kind of grind them into the fourth quarter games, one possession type games. And then to have to then, because you remember you were at Rutgers, back home to Michigan, and then you turn around and go back out to Iowa. Dude, that's a tough stretch for 3 weeks. Going east, west, east, playing three very rugged physical football games. You wonder if maybe you just don't get worn down. Like, this was always like when you play a team like Stanford, right? When you play bully ball, it can affect you. Utah's like this, you know, that you can have that effect a week or two later. So we'll see how Washington goes. Those first two losses really stung at Washington State and Rutgers. Iowa, you just flat out got beat. You just laid an egg. And now it's not any better. Do you know where Washington's at this week?
Indiana, I think.
Indiana on the road.
Yeah.
So again, at Rutgers, back home to Michigan, Eastern, on the road to Iowa, and then on the road to Indiana. And Indiana,
is it Indiana Eastern time?
Yes, they're Eastern time.
So that's another one. And Oregon goes to Indiana.
Yeah.
Well, not Indiana, but Purdue.
Yeah.
But it's in Indiana. And that's another one where the West Coast, or the team is traveling more than two time zones.
And Indiana puts up points.
But that Purdue game is, what, 5 o'clock here? So that's 8 o'clock there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's for Oregon
yeah.
at Purdue, and for Washington at I don't know what time the Washington Indiana game is, but for Oregon at Purdue, that's like sitting around until the late game on the West Coast.
That'll be a 9 a.m. local kick for Washington. So they got to play the early
9 a.m. there.
9 a.m. here. Noon.
Yeah.
There.
Okay. So noon there. So it's not as bad.
No, but you're still, I mean, you're waking up early. You know, you're
yeah, probably worse for your opponent, but not good for anyone.
Yeah. And everyone knew the Big Ten scheduling and all that stuff. It was gonna be a challenge.
We had Lanning on earlier, and he did mention, you know, this is our first big Big Ten trip.
Yeah. Boots on the ground, baby.
Yeah.
Boots on the ground in West Lafayette.
Look, I never had to do these.
What an opportunity!
I never had to do these big swings where you're going, you know, east west. But I mean, I remember going, getting on airplanes and playing, you know, Florida State, playing Virginia, playing, even when we played teams down in Texas, you know, from Utah. I don't care what anyone says. Those travel days, those kick you in the nuts. They really do. Miami, remember when Miami played that Cal game that they escaped? I guess Miami got home from that trip at like 5:30 in the morning.
That game didn't end till like 11:30 local. Yes. So yeah.
And you shower, you get something to eat, whatever, and you get on a plane and that's private, but you're still going all the way back. I mean, and then you wake up the next day. Like, I mean, that stuff can affect your body clock and it wears on.
I mean, that's one of those reasons I kind of like, just from a gambling perspective, I like Rutgers this week. They host UCLA. UCLA has been bad, not very disciplined, and they make one of the longest trips of the year.
Yeah.
It's just
okay. Well, again, I'd like to see the sample size a little bigger, but something to keep an eye on. Yes. The reason I brought up Jed Fish is because he said smart-alecky about the Ohio State-Oregon game. He called it a battle of two $20 million rosters.
Is this a little bit akin to the owner getting mad at the media guy? Like, your team just got their ass kicked, and now you're complaining about how expensive the other rosters are?
Yeah, there's a
like that. It feels like you're getting a little complainy because things aren't going well for you.
Yeah, right. A little bristly.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps. But he's not right about that. I mean, a lot has been made about Ohio State's $20 million roster. Mm-hmm. Oregon does not have a $20 million roster.
I don't think so.
The NIL numbers, somebody was saying that they're not even in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, I just think anytime you're talking Oregon, Alabama, Georgia, whatever, they're expensive. Plain and simple. And by the way, anyone that's bitching about that, it's just because you don't have the money. So I just... I'm so over the anyone complaining about the money aspect of it, because you're just upset that you don't have it. Because if you did, you'd spend it too.
Well, doesn't that kind of give you a little insight into how that person thinks?
Yes.
It's another excuse.
It's excuse. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So screw you, Jed Fish.
You know, Boise State doesn't have much of an NIL budget, and they took Oregon to the wire and damn near beat them. So, you know, I'm guessing when Boise was sitting there getting on the airplane, they weren't sitting there being like, oh, man, if we just had $10 million more. It is what it is.
Can I also say
line up and play.
They just played in the national championship game.
Yes.
And college football has always been imbalanced.
Yes. Now you want to talk about roster?
Yeah.
You know.
It's pretty weak.
And so it does point out, yes, UW actually has a bye week before Indiana. So that at least helps that you're not, I guess it's not, you know, east-west-east. It's east-west bye. Them back east.
All right, Vanderbilt did it again, and we have Mario Cristobal audio next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We just rolled, brother.
By the way, I did look it up. The Rays' new ballpark, they are going to build one in downtown St. Pete. It's not going to be ready until 2028.
Okay, but the Rays are staying there.
The Rays are staying there. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought we remember talking about this. Yeah, they're building... damn it. Is that... Sorry. Oh, goodness. Sorry, what a catch. Or was it not a catch? The Mets game has me completely discombobulated. I thought he caught it. Doesn't look like he did. Dodgers are winning. What
damn
the hell?
It!
Yeah, they're building a new stadium in downtown St. Pete, but it's not even going to start construction until 2026. Won't be available until 2028. And so they got to figure out something to do for a handful of years.
All right. Back to our college football beard oil. We were talking about Vandy and their really unfair NIL budget that they have.
That's how they slayed the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide with their giant NIL.
Yeah, Jed Fish. What do you say about that?
It's such a – whoever pulls it off, right? Kirby Smart saying it about Oregon – who was the Jed Fish. It's just such a boring, tired excuse, even from fans. The only reason why you beat us is because you pay players. Everyone is. Like, you act like college football has always been fair and equitable. Grow up.
It's
never been the case.
You little bitch.
I have to root for a school that we have to recruit kids and tell them that they can't have sex or drink. You want to talk about, I'll trade you the honor code for whatever NIL budget you have. You want that? Pay as much money as you want. You have to recruit on that. But you don't get to make excuses. You line up and play with who you got.
Well, I was looking at Vandy's schedule. You know, they did it again. They went to Kentucky and won.
Yeah.
Right after beating Alabama. And we probably thought, I think most of us, because it's Vanderbilt, we're conditioned to think, they'll go away. But what a great win. Well, they won at Kentucky, and so they went and looked at their schedule. You know, they lost to Georgia State.
Yes, they did.
But after that, they almost won at Missouri. Remember, they took Missouri to two overtimes?
Yep.
If they had beaten Missouri, they could be on one of the best runs ever for an unranked team because Missouri was seventh, Alabama won, Kentucky unranked but a good win. If they beat Ball State, you know who they get after that?
Isn't it Texas or Georgia? Yeah, Texas.
At home.
Well, Dave Bartu is telling us that he goes, this is not your Vandy. This is like one of the big bets that I had at the year was when they were playing Virginia Tech at the start of the year. And Dave said, Virginia Tech is going to lose to Vanderbilt. And he said, this is not your Vanderbilt team. He said, in the SEC, they're like the 13th or 14th best recruiter. But he said, if you took this Vandy team and put them in the old Pac-12, they'd be the fourth best recruiter. He said they're recruited in the 30s and 40s. I mean, so this is not, and they have a very good coach, that this is not your dad's Vanderbilt.
They're also playing at LSU and Tennessee the last two games of the year.
So, I mean,
so they would play two different number one teams, number 7, number 8, and number 11.
Well, and this is kind of the cool thing. Look, they're not going anywhere, but, maybe they get to play spoiler and get a couple more pelts on their wall. I'll tell you what, they're not sneaking up on anyone anymore.
Well, I don't know how they're not ranked. Michigan is ranked and Vanderbilt is not.
Yeah.
That's pretty stupid.
Yeah, preseason, man.
But
don't
it
tell
is
me,
what it
don't
is.
Tell me that the preseason stuff doesn't matter when it comes to those sorts of things. It absolutely does.
Would you like to hear from Mario Cristobal?
Yeah, what's old Mario got to say?
Well, look, let's give Cristobal a little credit.
Yeah, Miami's
undefeated.
Yeah, it doesn't look very pretty, but it's there.
Well, but the doesn't look very pretty part, Oregon fans... They know the Cristobal ride.
Yes.
They know what that's like.
Yep.
And look, Dan Lanning is a better coach than Mario Cristobal. You want Dan Lanning over Mario Cristobal.
Yes.
But I feel like it needs to be said that Mario Cristobal was a good coach when he was at Oregon. He won a Rose Bowl, for God's sakes.
Yes, and he can recruit.
So I just, you know, if you think about what he took over, it was kind of dicey. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing about Cristobal.
Yeah.
Is he stabilized a pretty dicey situation.
Yes.
Because you went from the Helfrich thing.
To Taggart.
Thank God he left.
Yep, and he did. He kept it on the rails.
And he didn't keep it on the rails. He brought it back up. Yeah. I mean, they were, I think he took over when they weren't very good, and he says it in this clip, but mm-hmm. I think maybe Taggart went 7-5, didn't he?
I think something like that.
He wasn't.
It wasn't a disaster. They had the bad year under Helfrich. Helfrich got canned. Taggart, I think, won 7 or 8 games. And then Cristobal took over for Taggart. And then not only did Cristobal stabilize it, and again, they ended up winning a Rose Bowl with Justin Herbert, but he really ushered in a new era of recruiting for Oregon, where he really, you know, kind of took off from that, and then Landing has continued, and now it's, you know, better than ever.
Yeah, Taggart was 7-6.
7-6.
And Cristobal, that was the year he took over for the bowl game, and they blew it. And then he went 9-4, 12-2, 4-3 COVID year, 10-3 and out. But, you know, it's just interesting to me that his kind of reputation is, you know, around
it's not,
here.
It's not great.
I know. And that's weird because he was good and is good, and he's good at Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He has flaws. And we all know what those are.
Well, he's not a X's and O's guy. He's the definition of a CEO type, and he can be pretty hard-headed and stubborn, especially when it comes to running an offense. And again, big moments define coaches, and his big moments in Miami have not been pretty, including the stupid refusing to kneel on a ball. I mean, that's one of the dumbest decisions you can ever make as a coach, and that's going to haunt him unless they go on and win big.
Yeah, it's just interesting to me how coaches get reps.
Sure.
And
it's hard to break them.
It's just sometimes it's not necessarily commiserate with what they really are.
Yeah. Well, and it's both good and bad, right? Like Mel Tucker has a one good year and they give him like an $80-90 million contract. And, you know,
this is how I feel about Jed Fish.
Yeah.
Like,
he had the 1 year at Arizona.
Dude, Jed Fish for years tried to get into the Pac-12 and couldn't.
Yeah.
Jed Fish is not great. He had 1 year at Arizona where he won 10 games with a good quarterback.
And he parlayed that into a great job. And people are talking about, oh, well, Florida will hire him. Well, not right now.
No, they're not going to. That's again, what is it about Jed Fish that you all like?
You talked about it. When you get a positive or a negative one, whether it's fair or not, it's hard to break that.
Weird. All right. Well, anyway, I want to play this because it's Mario Cristobal talking about recruiting Penei Sewell.
Hmm.
And it's on some podcast. I don't know. I don't know who the other guy is, but I thought it was just odd.
I think it's Kevin Clark of The Ringer. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, you tell me.
Well, you sent me the clip. I think that's right.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to the other guy. I was listening to Cristobal, and here's what he said about when they recruited Penei Sewell to Oregon.
When he was drafted by the Lions and knowing Coach Campbell, man, I couldn't be happier because that was a perfect fit. Because those two guys are just, in terms of football, they are goons. They are all about kicking someone's butt, and they're super smart, and they're competitive. And they're awesome. And on the flight and taking the job as the assistant head coach at Oregon, I remember receiving a text, hey, you got to look at this guy. And it was Penei Sewell. I'm like, whatever we got to do, we got to get this guy. And insane recruiting process. We weren't very good upon arrival. And I'm out of bullets recruiting wise. I'm out of sales, pitches. Right. And I can't even go visit him anymore because I was promoted to the head coaching position. And I'm like, what do we do here? And so anyways, long story cut sideways, big staff meeting. No one has a good idea. So decided to take the graduate assistant and dress him up as the mascot and put him on a plane and send him over there. It's not illegal. That's a violation. Can't do that anymore. But there's a great picture of Penei right beside the duck, and he's not very happy that he did sign with us. But no, he was, man, that guy, I remember bringing him in, sitting him down. He's about 374 pounds upon arrival. And say, hey, man, you know, we do things the right way here. Day one, you're going to have to be the third teamer, all right? And you're going to have to work your way up. And about a day later, it's like, hey, man, you know, that third team discussion, we're going to change that. You're going with the first team now. So it didn't take long for him to prove himself as being that guy. But my Lord, what power, what strength, incredible upbringing, all right? Yeah. Sarlene, Gabe Sr., oh, my God, off the charts human beings, tough. Hard-nosed parents that raised an absolute stud. And brother, that guy in practice was an absolute just joy to be around because he would try to whoop somebody's ass every single part of practice all day long.
And he dropped a brother on him.
It's a brother.
But anyway, what a weird
I know.
That's how they got Penei Sewell?
Well, that's not the only way they got Penei Sewell.
So was he alluding to, he's like, I'm out of pitches and I'm out of bullets.
Send a bag of cash and yeah, a mascot.
Is he alluding to the fact that he didn't have any money left to give the kid? Or did he send the guy in the mascot uniform with a bunch of money?
You can pick that any way you want. But Penei Sewell, I remember Andrew Nemec, who is our recruiting guy here, and I respect his football opinion a lot. But sometimes, you know, the high school recruiting thing, it's hard for me because every kid is going to be the great blah, 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 whatever. And Nemec sometimes shares with me stuff, but he knows that I just, you know, a lot of times, spare me the high school highlight tapes. Like, everyone's got them. But he said, hey, I want to get your opinion on this. I think this kid is different. And I remember being like, oh, my God. He goes, dude, just watch this and tell me what you think. Because this kid is really good. And he was thinking about being a BYU kid. He's a Mormon kid. And he goes, I think they're going to get him out of BYU. And I was like, oh. I was like, all right. And he showed me the highlight tape. And it's one of the few times where I texted him back and was like, okay, I'll shut up now. Like, you could just see it. You could just see it on his high school film that kid was different. And I just love the crystal ball thing. You're going to have to prove, and yeah, you're fine. You're here.
One practice.
He was just that kid that just showed up. And he wasn't even in great shape. He kind of had a high school, he had that baby fat around him, and it didn't matter. He just was that good. He was special from day one. But I do love the I'm out of pitches, so I send the mascot. And maybe there was something else. I don't know. But they got him out of Utah.
Well, it wasn't the mascot. It was an assistant in the mascot uniform, which is now, he said, illegal. You can't do that?
I guess not.
Because it's a coach.
Yeah, well.
Right? Is that what he said? That was very – now I'm even more confused.
Yeah.
Was he saying that they sent the an assistant coach who wasn't supposed to be meeting with Sewell in the mascot, costume so that nobody knew that it was an assistant coach?
Possibly. I think maybe
that's what he was saying?
I think maybe that's what he's alluding to, that the coach didn't go as an assistant coach. He just went as a mascot.
What if it's Cristobal that went as the mascot?
What if it was a hot blonde with a bag full of cash?
Well, that's probably more likely.
Well, I mean, look, I don't know what
that's
happened.
So weird.
Look, at least now we can be honest about what's happening, where back then,
exactly,
we have to, like, the D'Anthony Thomas at the last minute flipping from USC.
What do you
Something
suppose?
In his gut just changed, you know?
What do you suppose got him?
I don't think it was the mascot. I'm just saying. I'm pretty certain that's not why he flipped at the last moment.
Visions of playing in a Rose Bowl for the Ducks.
Well, go back and look at how angry USC was on signing day when he magically flipped. And we're like,
not magic.
Who was the coach at USC at that time? That Lane?
I think it might have been Laner.
The Lane train?
I think it was the Lane train.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Go out.
Yeah, you know, there's a rumor that maybe someone had already paid
what
him
an exciting
and then
time.
Someone paid him again. I don't know.
What an exciting time.
All kinds of rumors.
Wow.
But, you know, look, he just was blown away by the plane and the mascot. In either way, that is one of the great college football players that I've ever seen. And he was that good from day one. And now, arguably, he's the best tackle in the NFL. There's just some guys, you know, right from the jump are different.
Am I wrong that I remember a conversation of, like, he's not that good right out of the gate? Like, I mean, I know physically you're saying, but I think when he first got on the field, weren't people like, isn't this guy supposed to be better? Or was that Nada? Wasn't Haloti Nada?
I don't think it was with Sewell. I thought, like, Sewell, as a freshman, he was immediately the best tackle
Nada
in the conference.
Sewell
or something
was good. Right,
you remember when they got Haloti Nada and everybody was like, oh my God, this guy? And then he got out there as a freshman and just like.
The one that I remember, and like a dumbass, and I'll raise my hand on this, I thought he was making a huge mistake because I thought he was a much better O lineman, was Eric Armstead. I did not think Eric Armstead was very good. And I remember being like, dude, why is he playing defense? I didn't think he was athletic enough. Again, kind of had the baby fat body. And I was like, dude, move that guy to O-line. Well, they didn't. And
idiot.
Eric Armstead turned out to be really, 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 really good. And then go on and be really, really, really good in the NFL. So, I mean, that does happen with guys that take a while to develop. I remember Jonathan Stewart getting some flack. People thought Jonathan Stewart wasn't very good as a freshman.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? But
yeah, that was dumb. I'm pretty sure Jonathan Stewart ran back the opening kickoff of his first game for a touchdown.
People to this day still, like, don't forget about how good Jonathan Stewart
was.
He was
awesome.
You know, but Penei Sewell, he was He was special.
All right, we'll wrap up the sports portion of the program next on The Fan.
I've really come to enjoy the Rop montages when you're late coming back from your peas.
You know what a great producer does? Mm. A great producer makes it a
Not
great
that.
Moment on a show when a guy has to pee too long. Because normally I'd come back and I'd get crap for it. I have to squirt. I'm incontinent basically these days. And, you know, then Jeff's like, well, what are you doing? What the hell? Buckley is just covering for me, and he's making a great segment.
It makes me chuckle every time.
And that's why Ryan Buckley is greatness.
You know, when I was in Mexico City eating chilies at 1 in the morning.
Mexico City.
City.
That, Mexico City eating chichis.
That's the Jason Swigard.
Like, Germany's a great city.
Do you think Swag has any sort of uncomfortableness when he tries to ethnic up whenever he's talking? Like even when I do it jokingly, it makes me, I'm like, yeah, he'll be like, Mexico City. It's and he does it.
Hold on, everybody.
He does it all the time. He'll be like, Francisco. You're like, you know, you cannot.
Francisco.
You know, I've been to one of those Hillsboro Hops games where they have the Soñadores nights. Yeah. And boy, he gets into those.
Yeah. It's just, there's two types of people in this world, those that do that and those of us that are extremely uncomfortable by it. So I can't.
Yeah, he feels comfortable because he's he speaks like eight languages.
He's just waiting. He doesn't. He just speaks white guy, but with like Nicaragua, you know. But when I was in Mexico City, the elevation is so high.
I think
high.
You mean Mexico City.
Mexico City. And I felt what it was. I had sympathy for you because I was with the elevation. I had to pee like every 15 minutes. It was like insane. Granted, we were doing a lot of beer drinking down there, but like every 15 to 20 minutes, I was like, oh my God, I gotta pee. And
what is that?
I thought something was wrong. I was like, oh my God. And then I looked it up. I was like, dude, high elevation can really make you pee a bunch, especially if you're drinking. And I thought to myself, is this what it's like to be Rop every day? And let me tell you, I felt for you, man. That is an awful sense.
I pee a lot.
Yes, you do. I've never seen anything like it.
What kind of beer are you drinking down there?
Well, they had the standard. They had a lot of the Tecates, a lot of Modelos were kind of the two main ones when we were down there. And then there were some local ones that I'm not 100% certain what they were. You know, we just were drinking whatever they had. But most of the places that we went to, like we went to the, what's the wrestling called? The Lucha Libradors?
Yeah, Lucha Libre, I think.
Yeah, they were doing the Tecates, but they were in they were like the old OE40s. Like they just were serving giant bottles of the Tecate. But yeah, I thought that you know, there'd be more local flavor, but that was kind of the two big ones.
I always like that when I go to other countries. Well, Mexico maybe not, but depending on where you are.
Yeah.
I'm not a big beer guy, but I do like to at least try the most popular beers from that particular area.
But wasn't it? I mean, it's kind of weird that you would think that those would be the generic. Like it'd be like someone going to here and ordering a Blue Moon and be like, oh, it's craft beer.
Right.
But I'm telling you, all the bars we went to, the stadiums, all that, they were serving the same Dos Equis, Pacificos, you know, Coronas, like all the stuff that we generically think of like Mexican beers.
Yeah.
That was all that was being drunk. I didn't, outside of a couple when we went to bars with actual taps, but most of even the bars we went to, most of them weren't on tap. They were just bottles. There weren't a lot of like tap houses or anything. And they were all serving the generic stuff.
All right, well, this gets us to our next topic, which will kick off the club. I don't know if you have been reading at all about what the Mexican drug cartels are doing now.
Serving Tecates, no?
But it is terrifying for a lot of different reasons.
I have not, but now I'm interested.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Are we going to fearmonger about going down again?
Yes. No, I don't think... Well, when you hear what they're doing...
Yeah.
I don't think you will take that back. There is one element of it that would make you fearful, depending on who you're hanging out with down there.
All right. Because I love going to Mexico. I go to Mexico a bunch. And every time I go down, the amount of fear mongering that goes on from people around me, it's stunning to me. And Mexico City was worse, or excuse me, Mexico City. Like the amount of
you got to stop saying that.
No, keep going.
The amount of crap, and that was one of the most bougie, like high class, yuppie cities I've ever been to in my entire life.
Mexico City's nice.
Yes,
they got a lot of hot food there.
Is it because city is on the back end that it just doesn't sound nice? Mexico City, yeah. Well, Iowa huge. City.
It's
like, I mean,
it's just it's got it.
It sounds pedestrian, but it's not.
There are bad parts of Mexico City, yes. Of course. It's yes. It's probably is that the biggest city in the world?
Fourth largest city in the world.
Fourth largest. So it's enormous. But yes, yeah. Mexico City. They're talking about like you if you're a foodie,
yeah,
you can't miss it,
dude. There was a couple Michelin star restaurants right within our reach. They have a giant Central Park, like we have in New York City, right in the middle, and you can walk through that thing at like in the middle of the night, and there's street vendors there, and that was our running joke as we were walking around. We'd see someone walking towards us, like in a Burberry overcoat, and we're like, oh, I don't like the look of this. Nope, we're getting murdered for sure.
And then you go sit down at Chili's,
like an idiot.
My God.
I don't care what anyone says. Those tendies at 1 a.m.
Well, it's a good thing you don't care, because Isaac and I have
those things were slapping.
Club is next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.